Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
He's waited an entire life for that moment. He made the most of it.
Kevin Krum!
This one's over.
There's the tap. Gerald Mershon gets it done. He submits to Ron Wynn in Vegas.
I saw him get rocked, and once I locked in that rear naked, even though I wasn't under the chin, you get that grip tight, and I'm a black belt. That's all she wrote.
Gerald Mershon, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I, busy show today. We have Kevin Krum with his incredible win, Gerald Mershon.
But listen, I love underdogs. You know that, Jimmy, because I was one in my career.
Sure were.
So when Kevin Krum,
yeah,
you like when he has that little, at the way in, he has that little switchblade that's really a comb. You ever see that?
No.
You didn't see that?
No, I did not.
Guys, producers, play that for him right now. Put that on. I don't know if he had that kind of power.
No,
you don't. It's on his Instagram. But anyway, look, I guarantee when we get him on here in like a couple of minutes, he's going to have that comb nearby.
Yep.
Because look, because he's at weigh-ins and he's in there with Roberts, they're face to face. All of a sudden, he looks like he's taking out a switchblade. He's like, look at Jimmy, look at my hand.
Yep.
And then it's really a comb and he starts doing this with his hand. No, you don't think that's a cool
thing? I think that's great. I do.
Right. But I don't think it's going to have the same effect when he pulls it out the next time, though. Because when he first did it, it's like, oh my God, what is he? God forbid he hasn't. It's not a knife, Jimmy.
Oh, you know, going his hair.
But if he keeps bringing it, if that's like his shtick, because he did it also in the post-fight interview. They were interviewing him, and you see him with the little switchblade thing.
That's what he does.
That could be his like thing.
That's what he does.
Like tell it like Kojak with a lollipop or some shit, no?
Hey, who loves you, baby? Smoking a Moore cigarette. He used to smoke Moore cigarettes. Who loves you, baby?
Jimmy, is it wrong if I text my wife to bring you up a couple more shots of espresso? I don't want to be.
Not at all.
You know, because sometimes she gets shy. I don't want her to.
No. Bottom line is this, Matt. Like you've said many times on this show, you're the man. And when you need something, you pound your fist and it gets done.
And the show comes first, basically.
I would say yes. If you want an espresso, you should request one.
But I know what I feel bad, though?
Well,
she's running around all day with the kids, with computers. What should I text? The honey. Honey, can I have a couple shots of espresso?
Here's what you should text. I need an espresso. Chop, chop.
You want me to do that now? That's what she says.
Yeah.
Ready? I'm gonna do it now. Ready? Yeah. Dude, Jimmy. Don't get me. You're gonna get me in trouble because my wife's a sweetheart.
No, she'll be.
But she could be a little feisty Italian.
No. I need an espresso. Chop, chop.
All right.
That's the best
one. I need. Dude, you're gonna get me. Why am I? Listen to me. I'm
crying. You're making me come right up with the espresso.
Jimmy, you're not married. You don't understand what this could do.
Nah, they wouldn't understand. I don't understand. They match.
Ready? I need an espresso.
Sure.
Ready? Yeah. I need an espresso. I need chop, an chop. Espresso. Chop, chop.
Yeah.
I just did that.
There you go.
Oh, shit. Way. Dude, I'm actually, am I nervous? Could I actually be nervous that I did that?
And right now, by the way, have you gotten a response?
Can I just wait? Hold on. Before I get a response, can I say just kidding?
No. I think what you should write, Matt, is.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck, dude. I don't know. I'm going to get you. Look at me. I feel like a little kid. You're going to get me.
I think you should write. Have you heard back yet?
No.
Maybe you should write back. Apparently, you haven't read my last message.
Oh, shit. She's typing. Yeah. Seriously.
What's
seriously.
Your...
Seriously. She wrote. Seriously.
Yeah, she wants to know if you're kidding or if you really need...
Now I feel bad. Look, you finished the one I made. She already made me espresso. Sorry, joking.
How about
sorry.
This? No. That's not my answer. No, that's
what
not
do you mean right.
Double shot. I don't like asking twice. I think that's the fair
fuck
thing.
That, Jimmy. Oh. No. Jimmy, you're getting me in fucking trouble.
All right.
All right. I'll give you chop chop with a fist.
Okay, she didn't. That wasn't well received. That's my fault. I'll accept responsibility. Kevin Kroom is ready.
Get him on, dude. I'm crying, though.
Man, Jim Norton, what's going on, bro?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Dude, I'm a huge fan.
Oh, thanks, man.
I'm not surprised. I am not surprised at all.
Heck yeah.
Wait, hold on. Your hair's a little messed up. What are you going to do for that?
Oh, I got to get my comb, right?
Tell me about that comb, Kevin.
I have been dreaming about this, for so long. I just plan on milking this for everything it's worth. And, I don't know. I had the comb and I was like, about 6 months ago, I was like, this is what I'm going to do for my first UFC walkout. And bam.
And you did it.
And that happened. Hey, man, I love underdog stories. I like when it said biggest underdog on the card.
Yeah. Let's
go. Kevin Kroom.
Let's go.
And now listen, so you're in there. Tell us how this came about. Because it was one of our guys, Matt Favola, that fell out. Well, yeah. Because something happened. And so tell us how this crazy 24-hour thing happened for you.
So I am I'm doing medicals for the UFC so I can fight. And I get the call. I got like an appointment at like 2 p.m. And I'm pulling into the parking lot of the doctor's office and I get the call that I need to go to Vegas. And we've already been discussing about going to Vegas to do medicals because they were cheaper out there. So I initially think they just set some tests up. And then my manager's like, no, like to fight. And I just like, oh, okay. And then so I had to like, I'm 30 minutes away from my house to get these medicals done. I had to get this thing done, go get blood drawn, drive home, and like I have 2 minutes at home to pack my bag. I left the house completely in a mess. I text my girl. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry, but I'm going to fight for the UFC. And then hop on, finally, like rush. I'm freaking out to the airport. I like get to the airport 30 minutes before boarding.
Wow.
So I'm like rushing everything. And then I like finally get through security and I see my coach and I sit next to James. And I put all my stuff down, and I look at him, and I say, who am I fighting? And
until that. It didn't matter.
I had no clue, man, because it didn't matter, and B, like, I had too much stuff to worry about. I was on a time crunch. If this was going to happen, it was going to happen now. So finally, I made it. All right, down to business. What's
where
up?
Were you at with the weight? Like, what? Where were you at with weight?
So, I mean, this man, A, like, I am going to fight bantamweight now. I'll get down to bantamweight. I was like, I woke up at 158. Like I stepping into the cage when I left the hotel, I stepped on the scale with my uniform on. I made weight. I was 156 with my uniform on.
You know,
this ain't no thing.
You've been in the game for a minute. That's how Jimmy talks. Jimmy talks like a youngster. Yeah. You've been in the game for a minute. So how come? I mean, no one. When I see you, the way you fight and. And I can tell right now with your wacky personality, you'd be perfect for tough, like the ultimate fighter.
Yeah, man. Yeah, dude.
You in a house somewhere. Like, no, but like your personality, you have like 13 pro fights. You've been around.
Wait, I feel 13? Like, no, I got
my bad. Oh, my. Oh, fuck. What am I saying? 30?
I got like 35.
Holy shit. Pro fights?
I have like 75 fights total, like amateur, pro boxing, all pro. I have like 40 pro fights, like 45 pro fights, everything.
Yeah, Matt, the 13 you're seeing is that he was competing for 13 years in other promotions. Yeah, he's got a lot of fights.
I don't fuck around, dog.
And you were ready, dude. You were completely ready. But did this help you too? Because it's weird, like when you have sometimes preparation time is a lot of time to think and run all options, good and bad.
Yeah, yeah, kind of for sure.
Time to think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I like it. It's just business, you know. I enjoy it. I enjoy it like that, for sure. I mean, obviously, having time to prepare is nice, but whatever, man. I don't care, dog. I've literally, you know, my entire career, which is why I just got here, is because I fought anybody, anywhere, anytime. You know what I mean? And that hasn't always been the best thing for me, but here we go. It finally paid off.
So coming up, it's not like you were, you had some kind of padded record or anything. You would just jump in on a minute's notice.
Yeah, man. I didn't. I just never had the best training. I jumped in. I never trained before I started fighting. I got my first amateur fight, like the week that I beat this kid up in high school, and he walked into a gas station I was working at telling me he was a cage fighter. And I said, well, if you're a cage fighter, so am I. I got to fight the next week. And man, 13 years later, I just made it to the UFC, baby. Let's go.
What were you like as a kid? I can see, man, you just not sitting still.
Oh, man, ever.
Were you into sports? And what were you doing as a kid?
I mean, I always, ever since I saw like Three Little Ninjas, I loved ninja stuff. Oh. Man, I wasn't like really allowed to do sports or do anything like that growing up. I started wrestling in high school, and that was like my first athletic thing.
Okay. How weren't you allowed? Were your parents strict?
Man, yeah. I mean, they were kind of nutty.
Oh, really? Were you religious?
Yeah, my dad was a pastor, like super. Yeah, I had a hell of a time. We'll just say that.
You did, right? Now, did you rebel against that too? Because a lot of people in the, like, you went into at least a good lifestyle.
Well, I mean, it was good and bad. Like, I mean, he was a pastor, but he did some fucked up shit. You know what I mean? I'm a fighter for a reason. We'll just put it like that.
Okay.
I mean?
So, yeah, you learned, you take care of yourself.
And, I'm a fighter for a reason.
What's amazing about this too, Kevin, is not only do you get this, the fastest, I think the fastest win in UFC, like lightweight history.
Debut, let's go.
You are completely uninjured. You took no damage. So people want to see you fight again and you are ready to go, which is great.
Right, I just got done training. Just got done. I had a full training session. Let's go. I'm ready.
Where are you now?
Tonight. Huh?
Where are
I'm
you
at
now?
At the gym. Glory MMA. Let's go.
Listen, are you, so you're with the great James Krause, no?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'll tell you,
James Krause.
Didn't I say the great?
Yeah, you did.
You're confirming it. Yeah, is he over there?
No, he's in Vegas. He's cornering somebody tomorrow night.
Okay, so you're waving off, and I got my manager.
Sorry.
Oh, that's cool, man. Hey, listen, that guy deserves a hug too for doing what he did for him. But let me tell you something. So, I mean, you, and then he's got Tim Elliott. What is in the water near you guys? Because you guys.
It has nothing to do with the water. It's just James Krause. He's an animal, and he expects the most out of us. And we're a blue-collar work team. And, that's what we – mean. I've been working construction forever, my whole life. I've grown up, like, blue-collar, man. We fucking work here. You know, and that's what it's about.
You know what I like, Kevin? This is the thing. I saw you fight, and then I think I was saw Jay, and then I'm following James on Instagram. James is like a friend of the show now at this point. And then I clicked on your Instagram, and that's what sealed the deal. And I literally texted Antonio, my producer. I go, get him on. Once I read BJJ Brown Belt cartoons and ninja shit, I go, let me talk
to him.
Too much
television watching got me chasing dreams. Let's go.
Yes. What is that? Is that Biggie?
Coolio.
What was it?
Coolio. Wow.
Oh, shit. That's my wife's favorite song. That's fucking gangsta. That's
just paradise.
I'm an educated fool with money on my mind. Let's go.
Yeah, go. You keep going. I like it. So listen to me.
Wait, Matt, let me brag for Matt, because you play video games. Matt in the video game he plays. I want to brag for Matt.
Well, Jimmy, don't embarrass me in front of Kevin.
Number three in the world.
Well, now you're being a dick. He, like, first of all, he knows I'm number five or six. Oh, right.
Sorry.
Jimmy, you knew that going in.
I'm sorry.
And you want to make me feel less dangerous.
It's amazing.
I play virtual reality. It's a cartoon ninja shit. You're just assuming that he's into video games.
I love it.
Do you play any video games?
Nah, not for real.
He's video games. Oh, okay. Now you make me feel less accomplished.
It's not that I'm not, but dude, like, I have like a PS3. I'm like a few systems behind. I don't spend money on that type of stuff, you know?
Well, I mean, dude, speaking of that, I
got
saw
your money now, though. Maybe I'll get one.
Yeah, get yourself a freaking Xbox. Listen,
yeah, right?
Kevin, I saw you tweeted or put on Instagram something of you had $64 and I was hoping to get to 65, and then I got this call. Were you exaggerating a little bit?
Nah, not at all.
Come on.
Not at all.
Do you spend a lot of money?
I mean, I just don't, you know, I mean, I spend all of my time training, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, I do work. I did have a job, you know, doing construction and stuff, but man, like, and I mean, so I make just enough to get by, you know, like.
I know that feeling for sure. I've been there for sure. Well, I mean, this is such a great story, Kevin.
Yeah.
Who are you telling, bro? You are on cloud 10. There's a cloud 10. Anything higher than cloud 9.
I'm saying cloud 21. That's what I'm saying.
Doesn't it feel great? You were so – you know what? Don't you, Jimmy? When he won, did you feel like you get happy for him. I didn't even know
him. Dog, I couldn't have dreamed it. I never would have dreamed it be this good, right? Because you're never going to hope. You're never going to be like, oh, I'm going to have a 30-second UFC debut. You train and think about the hardest possible thing. And I went out there and
Is that your move, the guillotine?
No, that's literally like the second time I've ever done that ever. However, I just hit that same move twice in the gym today. So I think the thing is, I just realized that I need to do it with my left hand. There's something about like my shoulders. My shoulders are so tight. I can't get enough force or crank this way. But when I use my left hand, so who knows? Maybe I just figure something out and maybe it will be my new move. Who knows?
It is funny how that works sometimes, you know, because it's the same thing. My right elbow guillotine is way better than my left. It's so strange. But you went from like an elbow up and then he went to like defend and you went to like a modified.
Yeah.
So you knew it might have been you knew the choke. You never pulled that off in practice?
Yeah, I mean so maybe against the blue belt or something, you know what I mean? Like, but no, like I have one. Like, I think maybe my fifth pro fight, I did kind of the same thing. It was a 16-second finish. I clipped the kid with the uppercut, and he just, like, gave me his neck, and it almost fell in, you know? And so, like, I mean, yeah, I know. I'll mess around with it, but in a fight, like, no, like, a guillotine's not really my thing. It just worked out, man.
Well, I think he's a brown belt, too, Roberts. I mean, you know,
how does he feel? You're submitted.
How does he feel to get caught in that? Like, especially when you're saying, like, well, you know, I've tried it a couple times, but not really. Like, if that was your signature move, but the fact that you just kind of threw it out there.
Yeah, for sure. But also, it's like, you know, I mean, I just threw it out there, but there's 15 years of training and experience that went into that one moment, you know. And, man, I clocked him, you know.
Yeah,
like,
you dropped him.
You know, like, and that's kind of, I mean, well, I have like 11 submissions or something like that. And the majority come from me just kind of catching them and then boom, hey, I can either work really hard and knock them out or I can just grab that neck real quick and it's done, you know. And when you got somebody like me, like, I'll take a fucking ton of punishment, and all these kids are so tough, but you can't fucking, if you can't breathe, you can't fight. So give me that neck all day, you know.
When did you realize you had it? Like, you know, at first you grab them, did you know immediately you had it?
No, like, I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch, you know what I mean? Like, Who knows anything? That kid's tough. Like, but yeah, I felt how like deep it was, you know, like, I mean, I felt that neck and I honestly hadn't even started to squeeze yet. I hadn't started to squeeze my bicep yet. Like, that's the last move. That's the last move in the sequence. And I was just holding it. And finally I put my hips in and I was going to start squeezing my biceps in like another second and I got the tap, so whatever.
And as much as it was, you had to go last minute too. Hey, Roberts didn't have any time to get ready for you either. Like, you know what I mean? He was like one of those things that he was probably at a full camp, but he had no time to get ready for you. And man, you caught him. It was beautiful, man. It was really, really, it was nice.
Hell yeah, man. I appreciate that. Man, I'm really happy about this moment right now, dude. I'm such a big comedy fan.
Oh,
I'm
cool, man. Thank you.
I'm a comedy nerd, bro. So, yeah.
Well, thanks.
You like Jimmy's like deviant humor?
I mean, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a silly son of a bitch.
Thank you, brother.
He sure is. That's what I call him that all the time. Now, listen, during this quarantine, guys that want to stay busy, Jimmy, I'm not sure if you asked this earlier. I can see you taking advantage of this. And if guys who want to stay busy are getting fights, like Tim, your buddy Tim.
Yeah.
Tim Elliott. Yeah. So, I mean, I can see you saying, hey, man, keep me busy. Is that going to be the case? Because people 100%. Are going to want to see you, Kevin. You're on the radar now, man.
Hey, man, I want people to see me. You know, so obviously I just set myself up in a good position to where I don't have to do anything. You know what I mean? Like, I just made a little bit of money. However, if it's right, man, I mean, I'll literally fight tomorrow. Like, I don't care. I fight because I love to fight. So, yeah, man, I mean, I'm just going to do whatever James Krause says. James got me here. I'm literally going to listen to every word he says till the day I die. So whatever he says is what I'm going to do. That's my plan for my career.
Is there anybody you got an eye on right now? I mean, I know you'll take anybody they give you.
I'd like to fight Caceres at some point. I don't know about, you know, like immediately, but I mean, that's a great fight for the fans. The fans win in that one. So, I mean, both of our personalities will play off each other. You know,
but 145 is your weight, right?
So, man, that's what I've been fighting outside. I fought 35.
Too. I thought you said bantamweight before,
I will fight 35 again. But I mean, there's some fights at 45 I like for sure.
But your ideal weight is what exactly?
I was 158 after practice.
Oh, okay. So bantamweight would be your
division. Yeah, man. It's just outside of the UFC, it's not worth it.
I hear you.
The cut sucks.
True.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, my last fight, I just got paid 1-1 for. You know,
so
like,
shit.
You know, like, I'm not gonna, and like, that's my 32nd fight. Like, you know what I mean? So like, it's just. Well,
let me tell you something, man. You're a welcome addition.
Yeah.
I like your antics. It's very nothing feels forced. I feel like you're a wacky dude in the best sense of the words there. I think that I like it, man. I can't wait to see what's next for you.
Caceres and you, I love the idea of that fight.
That's a good fight. That's a good fight, man. For sure.
Hell yeah, dude. He looked great in his last. He might be the opposite of Caceres when he got opposite of Samson. He cut his hair. He's looking phenomenal.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Him and Andy had that like that puffy hair. And I'll tell you right now, he looked like Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon.
He did.
Did you ever see that movie, Kevin?
Oh man, I got the glow. Who's the master?
Show enough. That was a great movie. I'm surprised they didn't try to reboot that glow. Shit.
I got the glow, baby. Let's go.
You sure do, bro. All right, man.
We'll definitely. I would love to have you back on. This was fun talking to you, and congratulations, man. That was really a fun fight.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Good job, Kevin. Nice to talk.
Thank you. I got more.
This episode of UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by P3, the official protein snack of the UFC. P3 portable protein packs are a savory and crunchy combination of three dynamic sources of protein from meat, cheese, and nuts. Each P3 pack contains up to 13 grams of protein, and they come in great tasting combinations like turkey, almond, and Colby Jack. P3, three dynamic ways to fuel your day with protein-packed meat, cheese, and nuts, because three is better than one.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hey, Jimmy, you remember when I asked my wife before, we made that joke about her picking up the thing, chop, chop.
I saw you aim down the thing when she came out.
Yeah, because you know what? Look at the cup she gave me now to drink out of, a mermaid fucking, she, this is her FU to me. Look at this thing.
Yeah. But I think that was
a big mermaid glass.
What's wrong with that? You enjoy.
Well, you know,
have a little sip of seawater.
She's so cute though.
Have a little sip of seawater.
Why did you put a little sip of seawater? Oh, Jimmy, man, I can't believe that Tyrone Woodley is fighting.
I do. That fight, like, it just appeared out of nowhere against Covington, which is a fight I really want to see. And again, it makes me feel really bad for Leon Edwards.
Leon Edwards, I believe, will have his day.
He will
have his day. But who the hell am I?
Darn, you're a nice man.
I am a nice guy. I really don't understand why they don't set him up with Jorge Masvidal. I don't get it.
Is it a money issue? Is it that Masvidal wants a Diaz rematch? Again, sometimes guys want not a better fighter, but a bigger name, or a name they feel is going to just put more money. I mean, obviously, there's motives behind it. But I think for me as a fan, Masvidal, Edwards, Covington, any of these guys I want to see fighting. Covington, Woodley, I'm really fucking psyched about. Let me tell you something. They're both coming off a loss. Tyron's coming off, I think, two losses, right? To
Kamaru Usman, the champion.
And Gilbert Burns, yeah. So I 10 rounds in a row, if I'm correct. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds and how he... This is a very, very important fight for Tyron. I mean, and it's an important fight for Colby, too, but I think it's a bigger fight for Woodley.
Dude, I just want to see... I mean, listen, Colby does a good job at playing the heel.
Yeah, and he's a great fighter. I mean, he's a really, really good fighter.
No, listen, if he just played the heel and couldn't fight, it's one thing.
Sure.
Hey, Colby, let's make up. Come on the show. Don't be a baby. I'll let you call me a little chubby bald man, whatever you want.
Yeah.
I'll play along with you. I'm not going to play much. I'll tell you to go fuck yourself. But I do want you on the show. I do want you on the show. You know why? Because I get carried away. I'm not going to play along too much.
No, you won't.
There's only so much I can be called short and
chubby. Yeah, man. I don't think you play along with anybody particularly, like, for Jimmy, long, if you think they're fucking with you. Yeah.
Jimmy, I just like to have a good time.
Yes, you do.
Let's start going over a couple picks, and then we're going to talk to Gerald.
I don't think, like, Hill Waterson was such a fucking great fight. I had a 2-2 going into the fifth. I believe I had the first two Hill.
100% those first two rounds.
Yeah, and three and four were I think I had for Waterson close. And I thought in the final one, I thought that Waterson was doing more, but then they said it was 18-18 with significant strikes. So I was like, fuck, I didn't even realize that. But I was okay with her getting it. I wouldn't have felt like either one was robbed. I felt it was that close. I actually felt it could have been a draw.
You see what you said there? I mean, you said exactly, because I was talking to Ray Longo before.
I could have been a draw.
And Ray Longo goes, hey, you tell me that Michelle Waterson won and I could agree with you. You tell me that
Angela Hill.
You know, yeah. Does have a daughter, Angelina. Yeah. Angela Hill. Then I agree with you also. You can make a case for both girls. I really feel for Angela Hill because she looked masterful those
amazing
first two rounds, specifically. The first two rounds, Jimmy,
yep.
It was almost like, dude, she's going to make her look silly. She's doing so well. And then, to Michelle's credit, she ended up getting that takedown in that third round and taking it. And then that brought her back into the fight. So, you know, and then again, then it was close after that. But before that, the first two rounds weren't close. They were clearly Angela's rounds. It's like, oh man, she's going to be, if she keeps doing this, because she really looked, I like her style. She really came a long way because, you know, she was accurate. She was landing that overhand. She has good footwork and she was taking away the takedowns. And I was really enjoying what she was doing, but then Michelle, you know, showed some perseverance and battled back. And what I'll tell you right now, great, great main event.
Yeah. Do you think, Matt, let me ask you.
Both girls should hold their heads up high.
Sorry, buddy. Do you think that this had a little to do, because, you know, Angela's gone five before, but I think Michelle has a bit more five-round experience. I wonder if this had anything to do with just a slight difference in pacing in the first two rounds and into the third and fourth. I mean, I really don't know the answer.
I hear you, but it's not like Angela got like tired and she didn't look like
I thought in the fourth she looked, and again, she made me crazy. I thought she looked a little bit. I noticed that she was again, mouth breathing a bit. I'm like, man, she's a little bit tired in the fourth or fifth.
I mean, I feel for her because it definitely could have went her way. But in her mind, she should be like, yo, I'm on like a 7-fight win streak. Because look at the fight before that. Yo, it's funny because Claudia Gadella wrote something like, now she's going to be crying herself to for like till the next year or something, or till 2021. She said something like that. And then right away, Angela wrote right in there, why don't you rematch me, ho? Or some shit like that. Oh, no, she's funny. She's like, that's probably the next time you're going to fight is 2021. I don't know.
You know, it's one of those things, too. I think that should have been a draw.
Like, yo, it could definitely, nobody would have complained if it was a draw.
No, Bigfoot Hunt, remember that? I mean, some fighters just a draw. Bigfoot and Hunt.
I love you, Jimmy. Let's get Gerald on here. Yeah. I miss Gerald. Do I know him well enough to say I miss him? Probably not.
No, you don't. But he's a good guy. He'll be like, he'll think that's strange that you miss him and you've talked twice.
Do you hear us now?
I can. What's Gerald, up, guys?
I said Gerald Mershot's a friend of the show by this point. How many times have you been on the show? 3, 4?
At least 3 times.
Jimmy.
Hold on. Now, Matt just said this, which we think is a little fake.
Wait, hold on. Don't say it the right way. Don't make me look weird.
No, I won't. Matt said, I miss Gerald. Now, he didn't say it like that, but he did say, he goes, I miss Gerald. Then he goes, do I know him well enough to say that? And I'm like, I don't think so.
I know, Gerald, I might not know you well enough to say that, but I think we have fun on the show.
Oh, hey, I missed you too, Matt. This is great. I love being here.
Thank you, Gerald. Jimmy, you're a little prick for trying to make me feel weird. But thank you, Gerald.
You asked.
Gerald backed me up on that.
He did.
Gerald knows that I know what it feels like to have people doubt you. To have people, when you're in his shoes, right? I know what he feels like right now. Oh, you're fighting that Comzac guy. Oh, good luck. And then they're saying shit. They said that shame shit, Gerald, when you were going to go face Duran Wynn. You understand?
That's right.
Tell us how you're feeling.
Look, I'm feeling fired up, guys. I'm ready to get in there and smash somebody. Everyone, like Matt said, well, not everyone. Most people are looking over me. I'm sure Kamzat's looking over me. He's already looking into the future. He's talking about fighting Damian Maya. He's talking about fighting the Diaz brothers. He's talking about fighting all these guys. I am singularly focused on fighting one man on September 19th and making it one of the worst nights of his life. Look, he thinks he's going to come in there and take me down. He doesn't understand that I'm comfortable from every single position. I won't just be trying to get back up if he takes me down. I'm going to be looking to finish him, all right? I'm tied for the most submissions in the middleweight division. I'm a black belt in jiu-jitsu. The whole point of an MMA fight is you should be able to end the fight from every position, and that's what I intend to do.
Yes. And I think that you're right. I think that, we talked about you before, like, and we mentioned Brunson and what he did recently. Guys who have been around and seen everything are always really, really dangerous for these young upcoming guys who are 8-0, who fought some good fighters, but he hasn't fought the level of fighters you fought, and he has not seen the level of things and gone through the things you've gone through in the cage. So I think this is a very dangerous fight for him if he's looking past it.
Oh, definitely. And this is the other thing. I know exactly what he wants to do. You know, every fight he has is super short. He hasn't spent that much time in there. What happens when he gets in there and it doesn't go his way in the first couple minutes? What happens when I stuff those first few takedowns and all of a sudden he's getting a little desperate? He starts overextending himself, right? What happens when he grabs a hold of me and he grabs a hold of another grappler who's not only bigger but way stronger? Because he thinks he's going to be able to clamp onto me and do what he wants. He's about to run into 185 pounds of raw American horsepower and he ain't going to know what to do
with it. Oh, shit. Yes. Hey, listen, Gerald, as far as fuel, if you're getting ready for a fight, there's somebody talking trash, you could use that as fuel. But when there's somebody, and I felt this before, they're talking past you. All right, I want, like you said, I want Damian Meyer. I want the Diaz brothers. He's fighting you first, and he's already looking past you. So I know what that feels like, and it's one of those things like, really? Really, everybody? I'm going to shit on everybody's fucking parade right now. Right? That's how I felt personally. I'm about to ruin this fucking party. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. And look, not only does he think he's naming names, right, but he's giving dates and locations. You think you're going to be able to fight a month after you fight me? Like, not only does he think he's going to win, he thinks he's going to come out unscathed And I don't know if maybe he just hasn't watched any of my fights or something. I put two guys to sleep in the octagon already, like completely unconscious, right? And not only that, but I love throwing elbows. So the fact that you think that you're going to come out of there and not have like the mandatory 60 to 90 day, you know, time off before you can even think about making contact and start training, you got to be out of your mind.
As much as that, it's kind of insulting for him to think that. In a way, does that make you happy? Like, it's better to have somebody underestimate you. Like, what better feeling than somebody who underestimates you? Like, Ngannou admitted, which I liked him for, that he underestimated Stipe, who was the champion, which was crazy. But he didn't take him as seriously. And we saw how terribly that worked out for him. So is there something satisfying about that, too? Like, yeah, I know this guy is looking past me, and I just can't wait to punish him for it.
I don't know if it's satisfying, but it definitely it helps the fight, right? Because he's, you know, he's not a big talker, like you said, and which is good for him because, look, he fights like Khabib. He just, you know, all he's got to do is do what he does, go out there and fight like how he's fighting. He's got to say three things like, I smash him, and he'd send location and whatever else. That's all he should stick to doing. So he's doing that very well. So I'm not going to get into a trash talk battle with him, obviously, but having that, the extra fuel, just knowing that he's looking past me, you know, I can't think of anything more motivating. And then, you know, to have the UFC go along with it. And again, I've said this before, I don't fault him. If I was Dana, I'd do the exact same thing. I'd be putting that kid's name out there and telling him, oh, he's nuts. He wants to fight all the time. I'm going to book him all these fights. But unfortunately, he picked me for the other side of it to start his little run, and it's going to stop dead in his tracks.
It, you know, it's funny. It's almost like Marlon Chito Vera, you know, when he, what he did with Sugar Sean O'Malley.
Sean O'Malley, yeah.
Now people are talking, now they know him more. Like, he expressed them, and he's a quiet guy. He's like a quiet warrior, but shit, he's a warrior, that Vera. So, I mean, now he started talking after he, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful to O'Malley. I like O'Malley.
Yeah, and he did have an injury.
I don't think he's handling the loss great. But, yeah. You know, he's a young kid, so whatever.
Right.
But as far as with Marlon, man, did he seize that opportunity. Who's not going to want to see him fight again? You know what I mean? It's all because the spotlight was put on it because of that, the hype of O'Malley. So this is such a great – when you got Warford, when you heard his name, and you know everybody that goes in that cage is a monster, what was the first thing that came through your head when you got that name in front of you?
Oh, I love the matchup. I never knew that I would get the opportunity because I figured they would, especially if they're going to have him fight at 85, right? I figured they'd give him an easier test, so to speak, because up to this point, of course, it's only been two fights, but they, you know, they were very favorable matchups to him. So I figured if they gave him another 85er and let him bounce back and forth, they give him someone that was like a striker with okay to decent takedown defense, not another grappler, right? Because I can wrestle with him. I can defend the takedowns. And like I said, again, I don't know why all these guys fight these Russians and they do exactly what they want them to do. They want to build up to all fours and then they give up that wrist ride and now they're fighting a losing battle instead of, hey, guys, I don't know if you know this, but you can finish people from your guard. Like, yeah. I was just spending time with Tyron and Dean Thomas, and you know Dean Thomas, he's one of the best to ever do it in the cage as far as fighting off his back. Like, you can armbar people. That's an option. And not only that, but if you're threatening to break someone's arm or choke them with a guillotine or a triangle, chances are they're going to give you a chance to stand up.
That's very smart. And that's so important, Gerald. A lot of guys are they concentrate so much on getting up that you're just showing me your hand. But when you have a guard that's threatening, it gives, if anything, some space. For them, okay, I don't want to get caught in this, and that will create a little bit of space for you to get up. If you have a non-threatening guard, all you have to worry about is one thing, keeping him down. But now once you're bringing your arms back, you're pulling out of shit, it creates space. In the beginning, when we do drills at my school, a lot of times it's passing the guard. The object on top is to pass the guard. The guy on bottom, submit, reverse, total last resort, you're able to get away. Otherwise, you get a good wrestler. He's getting away from everybody until he meets a better wrestler. And he doesn't have a threatening guard at that point. Gerald, you know this shit. I'm explaining it to Jimmy Bird. Oh, Gerald's totally like, yeah, agree. No shit.
I totally agree. Yeah, you sweep, submit, or stand up. And the stand up is open, like you said, because you already tried to sweep and or submit.
Ah, that's so exciting. Jimmy, I'm excited for this fight.
Whenever I hear of a fight like this, again, the examples I've mentioned were Frankie Yair. And again, not that Yair was disrespectful. It was just one of those things where the young guy that everybody was talking about and people forget, well, yeah, but look who he's got to get through, this guy. Like, you know, this Frankie had seen everybody by that point. And they guys who have been around always know how to stop somebody who has not seen that level. And I love, love, love matchups like this. I don't know if there's anything I enjoy more in the UFC than a young, undefeated guy having to deal with somebody who has fought everybody. So yeah, I'm actually taking you in this fight. And I'm not just saying that because you're, if I wasn't taking you, I probably wouldn't tell you because I like you. But
I appreciate that.
But I am taking you with no disrespect to Chimaev, but I just think that he's going to run into a problem with you. So I'm going to take you either by second or third round stoppage.
Shit, yeah. You know I am, Jimmy.
Yeah.
And Gerald, I'm not just saying that. Listen, I'm all about the underdog. It is something that makes it so much more exciting. And this is not just another fight. It's a fucking huge opportunity. And you know what I mean? So it's just,
No, you know? A lot of people are excited about it. And, you know, of course, I've been talking it up because, you know, that's my role. I'm going to play a spoiler, and I'm completely fine with that. But look, this kid, I know he's going to be tough. He's going to be very mentally tough. He's only ever won, right? He is very insistent and stubborn on executing his game plan. And I give him all the credit in the world. I respect him as a competitor. But look, I'm just as stubborn as he is. And for him to execute his game plan, he has to get to where I'm most dangerous in the grappling department. You know, I'm tied for the record in the UFC. I think I got like 23 submission wins out of 30 something. So I'm, you know, this is what I do. Like, I'm an all-arounder as far as, like, you've seen me take guys down, you've seen me knock guys out and strike with them. But my first true passion is grappling. So if you have to come to me where I can get my hands on you, it's going to be a long day in the office.
Yeah. And again, he is a good fighter too. And regardless of what happens on Saturday, you know, he'll be fighting for a while and his next fight, people are going to still want to see him fight. This is, you know, he's still a great fighter, but I just think that when you come up against a guy like yourself who has, you've fought a higher caliber of fighters for a longer period of time.
It's not good karma to talk past the, I find it, no matter how confident you are, you start talking past guys in this game, it sets you up for a little bit of humble pie, you know?
Yeah. Unless it's
Tom's out of pie, throw that on the floor and say you don't eat pie. But I'm telling you right now.
Unless it's a pure psychological move by him and in his mind he's obsessed with you. I mean, again, he may be doing that to put you in a – I don't know. I don't know the guy. But that's the only way I would say it makes sense, if he's trying to just do something publicly but internally.
Well,
it feels different.
If that was his idea, that was a pretty dumb game plan, because the last time someone pissed me off this much, I ended up beating him up and choking him out. So if that's his play, I'm all for it.
Okay.
Hey, Gerald, let me ask you. You were supposed to fight Ed Herman, and then you tested positive for the COVID?
Yes.
How did that feel? Did you get retested? Are you sure you had it?
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. So originally, I was supposed to fight Herman, and then we tried to reschedule it for last Saturday, actually. But I just kept testing positive, and I kept seeing things like some people test positive for up to 2 weeks. Some people it can be like months. Like, it's, you know, it's such a weird thing. We know so little about it because it's only been around for however long.
Right.
So I got to a point where I talked to my manager and my coach, and I'm like, I don't want to waste my time, Ed Herman's time, the UFC's time. And, you know, because after the 10 days, I had symptoms for like 2 days. So I was very fortunate. I had a stuffy nose for a couple days and I was fine. And the UFC doctor, like, look, you can go back to whatever. But as far as, you know, you have to get a negative test before you fight. And I knew that. So if I kept testing positive and we're getting down to the wire, I'm like, look, I'm just going to, you know, step out of this because, you know, why am I going to trouble everyone? Even if I say I do get a negative and then all of a sudden I come back and it's still positive. Maybe the other test wasn't good enough, but I've been testing negative. Now we're all good. And, you know, I just happened to get this opportunity, and I'm excited for it.
Now, you didn't have any symptoms?
I had a stuffy nose for, like, 2 days. It was very, very mild. So,
this is what the That's fuck great. I'm talking about, Jimmy. Yeah. Some people have it a little worse than others, and I know some people, but, I mean, this is why we're closing the whole fucking shit down?
I know. Who did we talk to that had a bad – she had a little bit rough – we interviewed a fighter recently. She just in Mexico. I thought she had it I don't remember – I don't remember who we just interviewed.
It's bothering. It's going to bother me now, but it'll come to me afterwards. We got Gerald on. Let me ask him.
All right, yeah.
Gerald, listen, speaking of the Ed Herman fight, did you watch it?
I did.
Holy shit. Can we just all agree that poor Mike Rodriguez got effed? He got royally screwed by the ref. Come on, Jimmy, do you see that?
Terrible.
Oh, God, I feel so bad. And you know, Jimmy, you know my nickname when I'm in my VR. It's Kamora Savage.
It sure
I love Kamoras. Normally, I'd be a guy losing and coming up. I'd be doing cartwheels. But I felt so fucking bad for that guy.
Terrible.
The only thing that remotely comes close I can remember is back in the day, and even good refs fuck up, Big John McCarthy stopped Murillo Bustamante from getting Matt Lindland. He had him in a full-blown arm lock, and he stopped it before the guy tapped, and he had him start over, and he apologized because he fucked up. I don't know, that's an old-school fight. But anyway, with this one, it's illegal. What did he hit him in the liver? Was it a liver shot?
It was one knee he dropped, and his knee came down on top of Herman's cup, but it was not at all. It was two knees to the midsection. The second one or the first one came down and hit the top of his cup. So he may have got his dick hit a little bit on the way back down,
Jimmy,
but barely.
That I'll tell you right now, Mike Rodriguez, this is what the saddest part is. When the ref jumps in and goes time out, and you see Mike looking for the kill, the fight was over, and he goes, and you see him, he goes, time? Like, he was so confused.
Yeah.
And what do you mean there's a timeout in MMA? That guy's a nice guy, man. He's a very nice guy because I think Joe, first of all, I can tell he's a nice guy because he has Joe Lozano in his corner and water seeks his own level. But I would be flipping. I mean, I never seen any. I mean, it's brutal. How could you? The guy robbed him of a total victory. And I don't know, man. I'm just real upset.
Can I ask you guys both, as fighters, like Ed Herman, again, you got to take the time if you can. He didn't, I mean, the guy, referee just stopped it. But then he was kind of acting like his balls hurt. That kind of bugged me a little bit. Like, he wasn't just standing there taking the time. He was doing the thing that you do when you get hit in the nuts, where you shake it off to make it look like he got hit in the nuts when he didn't.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. And I thought, man, I watched the fight without sound. I thought it was over. I was like, okay, he finished him. And I got shit from people because I tweeted afterwards. I was like, way to go. The vet came back, and everyone acted like I was ignoring the nuts. Like, look, as far as I'm concerned, they're 1-1. Like, it's impressive that he got beat up that bad and came back and got a Kimura. But, yeah, that I was really happy to see that they said they were going to pay Mike both because he definitely deserves it.
Oh, good.
I think one of his coaches was saying they were going to go review and like protest it. I think they should definitely be overturned at the very least to a no contest. But yeah, I'm all for gamesmanship, but I don't know if I, you know, directly take a shot to the body, even if the ref stops it. You know, I might not tell him to not stop it, but I'm definitely not going to start messing with my cup. You know, I mean, unless he really felt it in his balls, but that's kind of a hard sell for me.
You know what? I think that, I mean, maybe he knew he was just dead to rights because there's, you know, something called everything, you know, it's being filmed, you know. But, you know, when they did interview him, he said, hey, look, I was hurt. I didn't know what it was. And that can be true. You know, you get hit with a good body shot. I don't know. He could be full of shit. I don't know. But listen, all I know is, Mike Rodriguez, everybody feels your pain. Once it's behind, I was praying that he was going to fucking tap, though. Because once I seen it behind his back and Ed Herman did finish it like a pro, you know that shit's not, it's done. I don't care how, there's certain moves where an arm bar, sometimes you can get it popped a little bit and still struggle and get it off, get out of it. But with the Kimura, if you've seen guys, like for instance, I bring this one up because it's the most, one of the most graphic ones, and it shows you how devastating a Kimura could be, is Frank Mir with Nogueira. But he's a little too stubborn. Next thing you know, you get a metal-plated shoulder. So it gets nasty when that thing comes out. So thank goodness I heard it wasn't hurt, you know? But anyway, I just had to vent about that. I figured I'd do it because you were supposed to fight Ed Herman. What else, Gerald? How's Duke Rufus doing?
He's doing good. You know, me and him took a trip for a few days to go train with Tyron and Dean and back up here for a couple of days and we'll be out there. So, you know, Jim's doing well. We got guys competing in different organizations. And it's been really busy for us during this whole thing. So we've been very fortunate.
And you guys are now, you don't have the whole quarantine thing over there. Like, you guys he's allowed to run his business. I'm not trying to blow up his shit.
So we have restrictions.
Yeah,
we definitely have to follow certain guidelines and stuff. Like, there's masks and the whole bit, but so far, we've been following everything to the letter, and they've allowed us to stay open. And of course, we try to keep the fight team separate from normal classes because, you know, and we do the temperature checks and everything you're supposed to do and the questionnaires because there's only so much you can do, right? You don't know, you don't really know where people have been. But so far, I think we were maybe shut down for a month or two. I forget what the time frame was, but for a while now, we've been open.
Yeah, well, good for you guys and good for Duke. I like to hear guys still surviving out there and getting back at it in these strange, strange times, you know?
Yeah.
But, hey, man, other than that, dude, hey, man, we're behind you. We're looking forward to the fight. And, hey, man, what a great opportunity for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys.
Have a great fight, man. Talk to you
soon. All right, Gerald.
Take it easy.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Hold on, Matt. I know what you were going to say. Alexa Grasso was the name, by the way.
Oh, Alexa Grasso. Alexa Grasso.
But I didn't want to guess wrong if I said somebody might have had COVID. So, yeah, it was Alexa.
Yeah, she's a badass, man. She fought like 3 weeks after that.
Yeah.
I like hearing when these people had it and then they're fighting in a cage 2 weeks after.
Now, we want to talk about the fights a little bit. We talked about the main event, which was really a fucking amazing fight. And we also did discuss, of course, Ed Herman over Mike Rodriguez and Quarantillo over Kyle Nelson. Round three submission. Boy, Billy Quarantillo is a tough guy and a really fucking fun guy to watch.
Billy Q, like we call him, he visited Long Island before. He hung out with the Cerro Longo fight team. He was over there at Longo's and Wyvern's at Law. He was at my place, grappling. And then he's over in Tampa with Matt Arroyo, an old buddy of mine. I love this last fight with, what's his name, Carnile? The crazy ginger guy? What's his name? Spike.
Spike Carlisle.
Yes, Carlisle.
I'm sorry, buddy, yeah.
Yeah, no, that was a fantastic fight.
Yep.
And he follows it up with this. I mean, I'll tell you, man, this is how guys gain fans. That was a hell of a fight. And it's funny, man. Like during the fight, Billy was throwing like an overhand, and then when he knocked him out, it was like straight down the middle with that right. Bah.
Yeah.
He's not southpaw. No. I'm trying to think. Was it left hand or right hand? No, it's right hand. So many goddamn fights.
Yeah.
But man, Jimmy. I picked third round finish. All right, I picked sub, but still.
And I picked, I took him by decision.
Okay, so I'm better than you in this sense.
You are, but we're both right.
Okay, Jimmy. First of all, I'm not better than you. No, hey, what about Kevin being such a fan of yours?
That was nice. Yeah, yeah.
Kevin Kroom. That's so great, man.
My old radio. He's a nice dude. I liked him a lot. Kama Worthy losing to... Ottman is Itero.
Jimmy,
what a fucking finish.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. I mean, and Conor Worthy's, I mean, I want to see him back, not just because he has a love of Star Wars and his nickname is Death Star, but, you know, Ottman Azatar. I like Azatar because it reminds me of Avatar. And Avatar is what I use in my games. Kimura Savage. But I'll tell you, he was game. He got caught. Shit happens. But that Ottman, man, woo.
Yeah.
He's for real, dude. I can't wait to see what's next with him. These guys just like appear out of nowhere. Yeah. And next thing you know, we got another player on the scene.
Dude, he's 13 and up.
Can we just really quick talk about Bobby Green and how great he looked versus Alan Patrick? Because I don't think we talked about it yet.
Yeah.
You know?
That was a very dominating performance.
Man, you know what? Bobby Green's such a nice guy. And we should do our condolences for the Iranian wrestler.
Yeah.
Do you have his name? We should get his name right now. And if we can, guys, put that up there for us so we can say it. And, you know, it's so sad. He got killed.
Executed, right?
In Iran. Executed for a peaceful protesting. And, you know, Bobby Green said he saw that right before he walked out. They must have said, there you go. Is his name up there?
Yeah, yeah. It's I want to make sure. Navid Afkari. Am I saying it correctly?
Yeah, it sounds right. You know, he was so like it bothered him so much that he could not even do a post fight interview with our friend the Count Michael Bisping. He was trying to interview him. And he goes, "Man, a man lost his life." He's like, "I can't even like think about my fight now. Like, screw my fight." Basically,
did they know each other?
No, he didn't know him. I don't believe he did, but he knew that a man lost his life over that, and he was very upset about that. That guy's a real dude, Bobby Green.
Yeah.
I like him a lot, and I'm so happy for his success lately. You know, so Bobby Green, here's to you. Let's get him on soon, guys.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, listen, Roxanne Modafferi versus Andrea Lee. Yeah. I picked by decision Modafferi, and so did you.
I said third round stoppage.
Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry, Jimmy.
I took a third round stoppage.
Oh, I am correct.
Yeah.
Are you I am about correct.
I took a Zaitar by second round stoppage.
So you're saying my pick wasn't worthy?
It worthy by second round stoppage. Wasn't worthy.
Never mind. Huh? Nothing. You I slipped worthy. In a shitty joke. Listen.
Oh, no.
I am worthy of your friendship. I can't wait to see you. I'm going to give you a big bear hug. And you go, "No, germs." And then I'm going to start, like, I'm going to give you wet willies. No, I'm not, Jimmy. But I just miss you so much.
And I miss you.
Don't think that we're going to give elbows when we see each other. Little shitty elbows.
Hugs.
Oh, Jimmy, you better learn the defense from the double under because I'm giving you a big bear hug. all right. What other fight do we got? Da-da-da-da. I think we went through the fights.
We went through all of them, yeah.
All right, and Jimmy. Listen.
Great night of fights, and I can't. Well, we're going to talk Wednesday. We'll see who we get on Wednesday. Obviously,
I want to talk to
Woodley Covington. I can't wait to see what a fucking great card this is.
Oh my goodness, Jimmy. Well, listen, I can't wait. We're spoiled with fights like every weekend, and I'm excited. I mean, I'm super excited. I'm beyond excited for Tyrone Woodley versus Colby Covington. You know what I mean?
Cerrone, Nico Price.
What?
That's
this weekend?
Co-main. And also Johnny really? Walker
Holy
is
shit.
Coming back. A huge fight for Johnny Walker after two straight losses after being undefeated. So we'll talk about that, I guess, on Wednesday to promote that card properly. But what a fucking great card this is, too.
Jimmy, I can't wait to talk to you. I will be here. I thought I wasn't going to be here, but I'll be here on Wednesday. All right?
Awesome.
All right, my man. Listen, everybody, Unfiltered Army, I'm getting all your messages, yes. And I do appreciate it. And those guys who wanted me to give shout-outs, I forgot your names, but I'll look again. I'll do it in the future. So, Jimmy, my little bird, I will talk to you by Wednesday.
You got it, buddy.
Okay, brother?
Talk to you soon.
Goodbye, everyone.
Yeah, bye.
I could have done without the clap. Goodbye, everyone.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.